The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined in alphabetical order. Paddy, Pete, Steve. You all right, lads?
Hello.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hey, you managed to do it this week, guys. Yeah, all right.
Learning. Practice all week.
It's a Friday, so it's Good Friday. It's not that good, really, is it? If you're in a one-bedroom flat with a family of four, it's not that good, you know?
Have you all got fish for tea?
Fish for tea? Yeah.
Good question.
Did you all take part in the... I don't know, but listen, yesterday was a clap for the NHS. The second week I've done it, you know, it's week three of lockdown, isn't it? I missed the first week of clapping. Week three of lockdown... Paddy sent us a really odd video of himself bare topped just clapping on the WhatsApp group. Why, in his kitchen? Why did you say? I know you're a good shape, Pad, but is that why you want to show us? Really, you know, yeah. It's like one of the boasts that people do on Twitter, that, you know, or on Facebook. You know, they suggest they're whinging about something, but really they're not. You know, they want to show you their body. This is my clapping, Pad said. Pad, what was the explanation for that? Why did you send us? You know, four lads there. In fact. Five lads in a WhatsApp group. Was a four, and
Rich.
Yeah, occasional Rich is there. Yeah. But Paddy, what's the explanation behind that?
I'm just slowly losing my mind. It's going to get worse as well. That's just the start of this. I've just ordered some Scotland swimming trunks. So next week,
are we going back to bottomless?
Yeah, there was a reason, but it didn't make any sense. I realised that at the time. My nephew wanted to see me clapping, so I did that.
But in your head, what you said, what they really want to see is my ripped up physique. That's what they really want to check out. Not just my clapping, they want to see my nips and all that stuff. That's what they want to see.
We've all seen clapping before.
You've seen that before. Jesus.
Is this the clapping now?
This isn't new.
And listen, next week, I'm going to send you one of me just naked. Full naked, full frontal, just clapping.
We've all seen it.
This is my. Yeah, this is my clapping, boys. I'll be saying completely naked.
try and clap with no hands.
Yeah. You imagine that. You can hear the clapping sound, but it won't be my hands doing that. Right. Okay. So, it's week three. How are you feeling about this? Are we getting into a new norm now, or what? Or is it just odd still?
I'm liking it.
I'm fine with it, really. But I am lucky that I've kind of got work still. So, day to day, quite busy, really. The only difference is I don't go to the office, I do it from home. But otherwise, my life's kind of similar.
Are you preferring it working from home, Pete, or you prefer to go to the office?
A mixture, really. Some of it's easier because it's you cut off and you can actually concentrate on things a bit better. But other things you miss the kind of social interaction and the actual, you know, the buzz of the office a little bit. But. Yeah.
Yes, let's be honest though, socialising, we all discovered now, is well overrated, isn't it? I think, you know, social distancing is so underrated. We didn't have a term for it before, but social distancing. But now you realise, do you know what? I quite like being away from other people for a while. You know, but obviously,
I totally agree. Though, like, I went out running. Like, everyone gets out your way when you're in the supermarket. Everyone walks back, like, goes around you. And you're like, this is brilliant. Can we continue this forever?
Again, Steve, it's because you're not wearing any clothes. But, you know, it's... but when you're running, though, do you see that video of someone running and they're showing the kind of slipstream spittle coming out? So unless you're like 20 yards away from someone running, it's a good chance you're picking up their backdraft of spittle and stuff like that. They're panting out.
I'm not sure about you, lads, but like, I've got this thing now. Whenever I walk past someone, run past someone in the supermarket, I hold my breath. And it's like when you go through a tunnel.
Well, how can you do that in the supermarket?
The side.
You missed it.
People in tunnels.
Yeah, I do in tunnels. Yeah.
But tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, we do that with kids as well. But no, but Steve, if you do that in the supermarket, surely by the time you come into the exit, you're collapsing with lack of oxygen, aren't you?
It's a good workout, I tell you what.
It's just Steve on the floor with his basket next to him.
The way I work it, if you can smell the detergent on their clothes, you're too close.
Of course you are.
What?
Steve, I think previously you've been walking too closely to people. That's the problem. You've been on their shoulder, pretty much, have you? So, I mean, you guys, in normal circumstances, there's always been people, isn't there? There are certain people that don't understand that you have a certain space around you should avoid. There's always been people that invade that space. What do they call that? Their comfort zone, you know? And teachers are like that as well in school. It's a bit too close. You're like, whoa, back off.
Well, man. I think that was there was a reason for that, yeah.
Yeah, but
also, I think some people just really don't, the ability to judge distance is actually quite a skill. Like a lot of people,
spatial awareness.
When you see people driving to get through those width restrictors, some people have an absolute nightmare with that because they just can't imagine how big their car is compared to the barriers.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
So trying to change to people 2 meters, people just don't know what 2 meters is.
Yeah. No, I've seen cars. So, for example, you see a big sort of personal people carrier, a wide thing, just go through a barrier like that, and the car behind, driven by, say, an elderly person or a lady or something like that. I don't want to be, prejudice anyone, but their car is like a tiny micro something, and then they have problems getting through. You think, love, a Range Rover has gone through there, and you can't get it through. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know, fellas as well.
I'm not discriminating. Love, hey, sweetheart, what are you doing there?
Yeah, come on, lovely. Do you know what? I was looking at that 5G nonsense, everyone's. Did you look into that, the 5G into conspiracies? You think of it, right, they're reasonable people, I thought, on Twitter, suggesting it could be, had some basis in reality, And I'm saying, hang on, all you need to know is that David Icke is at the pinnacle, the peak of this conspiracy theory. That's all you need to know, There's nothing David stands behind that is real. He went from sport, BBC Sport, to saying everyone's lizards, didn't he? They're taking over the planet. Now, that's never come to pass, and now he's saying they're doing it via 5G and COVID. That's all you need to know. Him and Amanda Holden, there we are. There we are.
Also, there's quite a lot of countries around the world that don't have 5G, and they still got the virus. I mean, we've barely got 5G.
Paddy, you barely got 3G there, I think.
Paddy?
Hello. Yep.
Pad.
Yep. Check.
Get on your router pad. Wait, are you on your router pad? Because you sound like you're on a mobile phone rather than just Skype.
Am I on my router? Yes.
Hey. Okay. All right. Are you close to the capital somewhere? We're in the sticks, us lot, and we got better sort of connectivity than you. What's going on there?
We've discussed this, haven't we? The broadband around here in Croydon is pretty terrible.
Is it?
It's not the wonderland that everyone imagines it to be in Croydon.
I have always wondered.
The wonderful world of Croydon. On the stocks and shares, I just find this market so annoying at the moment. The rally is so annoying. And normally, I like a rally, of course, because I never go short. I'm a long-term investor, or short to medium. I'm an investor. I go long. I don't go short. So, and I just find it very frustrating. So we had yesterday another 6.6 million US jobless claims. Now, that's the worst week on history, up until the previous week, which was 6.9. Now, it's been revised up, 6.9 million. And then before that was 3.2. Now, going back, the worst week since then was, for a week, was the financial crisis, was 665,000. So from that, we've gone 10 times that in 2 weeks. And yet the stock market rose. The stock market's rising on this. And people are saying now this could be depression level, unemployment. We talked to some people saying we're at almost close to 15% in the US, and it could get to 25%, and that is depression level. And that's where, there's that tipping point where there's so many people unemployed that you can't stimulate or grow the economy because there's not enough people with enough spending power. Because in America especially, 70% of America is consumer spending, and that's the economy. So if the consumers aren't spending, the economy will tank, and America's the biggest economy in the world. So it's odd, but when you realise what's happening is, as soon as those numbers came out yesterday, right, as soon as they came out, the second they came out, the second afterwards, the Fed announced another $2.3 trillion of stimulus, pretty much. They've already done $2 trillion. Their balance sheet is up about $6 trillion. And to put trillions in perspective, to count to $1 trillion in seconds, it'd take you 30 years. So 30 years in seconds they take you. Now, they've already up to $6 trillion pretty much in quantitative easing and all that and stimulus. And so they are, and someone said recently, they are buying assets. Their assets are basically, they will create money out of thin air, then buy bonds pretty much off institutions like pension funds and all that. So they'll go invest in the stock market. But they are creating assets by $1 million per second. Every second, so that's why you can see the market go up a little bit. But this can't continue forever, of course. And in the end, I think what will happen is we'll have financial fallout. Because it doesn't matter how many people die. That's the sad thing about the economy. It only impacts the economy if those people come out from expanding the economy. So if they're having no effect on the economy, it doesn't matter. So if a company's still generating profits, as it was before, fine. But it won't be, you see, because companies take on more debt, there's more unemployed, there's less growth. So in the end, I think this market is going down. Now the question is this, right? So as yet, the S&P is down something like about 20%, 25%, which that's not even, it's bounced. It's one of the biggest bounces ever. Now, you got a question in your mind, is this less than an average recession? Because people are saying it's the recession of the decade, of the century. If it is, we've got nothing to worry about. This bounce may recover. We may go back up to growth. Or is this a really bad recession? And if you look at the figures, it is a bad recession, isn't it?
Well, the recession hasn't started, really, has it? I mean,
well, like with, 45 US economists say the US is now in recession.
It's barely started. This is only going one way in my mind, unfortunately.
Yeah. But it's amazing. Look at the short term bounce. It's been so annoying for me. I hold money in funds. I hold a couple of shares, but I'm still about sort of 75% to 78% cash. You know, so I'm really not fully invested at all. And so, I don't want to. I mean, I'm never chase bear market rallies. People say, some people say it's not a bear market rally. Some people say it's a recovery now. But I think, really? It can't be a recovery. Surely, knowing what we know about this, it can't be. We haven't even got a vaccine for the disease yet. So, you know, that's going to be a year off. We need more testing. So, even when the lockdown happens, or the lifting of the lockdown happens, it's not going to be, you know, back to normal. Because if you look at cinemas, I mean, I'm just looking now, theme parks around the world are all shut. Restaurants around the world are all shut. You know, most businesses are all shut, everything. And if you go back to where we are and we haven't got a vaccine, something like Cineworld, for example, which is listed, that fell by a long way, and Carnival Cruises, fell by a long way. And yet they're bouncing quite strongly. But they went, hang on a sec, even if you go back, they're not going to get any revenue now for, well, 2, 3, 4 months, who knows? Even when they go back, surely no one's going to go back on cruises for a while, are they?
No, exactly. Like, the sentiment towards cruises is going to be pretty low, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to be sitting next to someone in the cinema when I mean, they have to space people out socially. If they're going to lift this lockdown, they're going to have to do it with a social distancing policy, I think, in place, because we still haven't got a vaccine. So cinemas are going to have, a quarter of the population. They're not full anyway most of the time, but I mean, even the popular films,
And do you know what? I think also when they do reopen, I was talking about this because I've got a lot of friends who work in the bar industry, and I said, when it does open, they're not going to just fully open it. They're going to open them in small, like, say, for example, half capacity. But actually, that's probably going to ruin half those businesses. They probably can't sustain their rates and their costs and staff. Yeah. With a full bar, they expect the Friday and Saturday like full bars, don't they?
And I think lifestyles will change as well, won't they? Just even in the short term, mid term, I don't know. Yeah. It literally is not going to go flick back to how it was 4 or 5 months ago, whatever. I think life changes a bit. I don't know. So very difficult to predict. I just find the bear rally thing fascinating because it's driven by short-term bulls, I suppose, kind of trying to make a quick buck on a kind of...
Also short covering. So when people go short in the market and they start realising they've made enough profit, then they start rebuying back up.
Yeah.
So you've got
to rebuy it,
there's two charts I looked at. My first video of the market bottom, where is it? So I did one last week. The week before, I looked at the 2008 and 2002, so .com and the financial crash. And the bear market rally is there. The first one was 2002, was about 19% we had. And then in 2008, we had 21%. This one's been about 25, 26%. That's the next chart I'll add to that, saying, look how vicious these, aggressive these bear market rallies can be. Because I fully expect this to be a downturn now, next couple of months. So what good news has it? I mean, the Fed, very cleverly, knew that figure was going to be awful, that jobless figure, and they came out and straight away trumped that with, no pun intended, trumped that with, big stimulus. But can they keep doing that? I mean, how long is that going for? In the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much stimulus they pumped in, the people will have lost lots of jobs, won't they? I mean, I don't understand. I don't believe all the 17 million people now claim jobless in the last 3 weeks. That's a lot more than the 3 years of financial crisis, pretty much. So who's going for a walk? Is that Pad or Fred? Fred.
Might be Fred.
It's Paddy's podcast.
A lot of jobs will come out. Like you said, Steve, there in the bars, they'll need less people. They can't sustain, that business model is not sustainable on not full bars. So if it is sustainable, what they'll have to do is lay people off, won't they? I mean, the overheads are one of the biggest, costs to them. So they have to lay people off. So there'll be less people in work. So it's a question of, okay, let's say 25 million people go unemployed in America. How many of those will actually get back to work within the midterm, short to midterm, I mean, within the year? No one knows, do they, really? I mean, and figures are still scary. Deaths, I mean, even though Italy's coming down, they're still doing 500 deaths a day, which is not good. I mean, US at the moment are doing, 1,900 yesterday a day? Yesterday was 1,900. So there's still a lot of deaths going on. And they can't, I know Trump wants to get the economy going again, but all the medical people are saying you can't just open the economy again if we haven't got a handle on this. If we haven't got control of this, we can't do it. So
you would imagine that for a lot of companies, this is just going to fast forward automation as well. Mm. So their solution to trying to solve some of these problems might be just to get more machines in, more automated tills, more coffee machines that you operate yourself.
Yeah.
And that might be their route to getting their businesses back open. But obviously that also means lots of long-term job losses or the jobs completely removed from the whole economy.
Yeah. Well, let's look at a couple of examples, right? I mean, let's look at big companies. So like, these kind of things, in recessions and depressions, you can sort of, upgrade your portfolio to better companies at a cheaper value. If you look at, say, some of the best performers of the last few years, like you've got, JD Sports, you have Boohoo, you have, Greggs, Rightmove, all that stuff. Now, of all those, I can't see anyone buying, like Boohoo, for example. If we go back to a lifting of the lockdown, I can't see people just going out and buying clothes straight away, going out for partying times. So I can't see a mass, uptake in there. Of course, from zero revenue, they're going to be a massive, percentage increase, even if one person buys a dress. But I think a lot more people will, and houses as well. Will people be, shopping for houses and all that stuff? I don't know. Will they? Or looking for sports clothes?
I think if you are going to buy some clothes, you'll buy it from Boohoo rather than from Zara. You'll go to an online shop or companies that are better set up for online shopping. So they might fare better than others.
But fast recovery, right? I mean, look at, I think, like I said, of the big ones, of the popular stocks, I mean, I think like I said, Greggs will be quicker. It's more of a necessity than, say, buying a dress, isn't it, or something like that, a sandwich or sausage roll. I think construction will probably go to work faster, won't they? I mean, because they can try and social distance on work sites. You're outside, it's not so bad, rather than working in small areas. And Greggs is popular amongst the old builders, aren't they? Surely. I think talk about speed of recovery here, companies,
But that's the thing, that the knock-on effect, like construction, but then what are they constructing and who's that for and who's paying that bill for that construction?
Do we need offices anymore?
Or do we, those companies that were going to move to those offices, are they still going to do that? What's that? And then that knock on all the way through to, the builder buying his sausage roll from Greggs. That's why it's so massive. The knock on, the ripple effect across all of this is unpredictable, and you just can't even imagine. Well, it might be nowhere near as bad as I'm thinking, but I'm sort of looking at it going,
well, that's it. We don't know how many people will go. It's all about the virus, isn't it? We don't know how fast people will go back to work and what level will go back to work. I mean, will it be, will it be 50% of those people that are unemployed now? Will they be taken back up, or will it be only 20%, or will it be 80%? We don't know. That's the thing. It's hard. Well, if you're looking at price versus earnings, a ratio, we haven't got any E. We've got the price for stock, yes. We've got the share price, but we haven't got the earnings. So we don't know what the multiple will be. And that's why we get a lot of volatility at the moment. We've got them down because no one knows how to value what's going on. It's like, how much damage would it cause?
And we won't know until company results come out, and you know, in 6 months' time or whatever, really the size of the hole that this has caused in the accounts for all these companies.
But oddly, we won't even know then, because what we'll get, we'll all know that there'll be very little revenue coming through the tills of Boohoo and all these companies, right, for six months. So it's only maybe a year from now when we'll realise how fast they got back to normal, or did they get back to normal, or what percentage they got back to that. Let's say they get back to 80% of their normal capacity. How long will that take, you know? But you'll have a rally before that, you know?
Why it's fascinating that the rallies that are occurring, like you say, people closing their short positions or whatever, and other people kind of doing a short-term trade, and all of that forces prices up. But, like, everybody, it's not a secret, like, everyone kind of knows it's... we're in for a depression now, aren't we? I mean, people are genuinely thinking this is a recovery now. They're very, very, very optimistic, I think. So it's kind of fascinating that, realistically, we are talking 6-12 months before you really know what the outcome is. And in that time, we could be way lower than we are now overall, couldn't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're looking at multiples, like I said, if the stock market, and it's what it should be, really. I mean, listen, I'm going to draw a line here. There's guys on Twitter trading, doing very well, you know, trading out of COVID-19 stocks, that anyone that's creating tests or helping in creating tests or ventilating machines or anything like that. Some of these stocks done really well. Like Novacyt, for example, is one. NYCT, it's a company. It's done like a, what's it done? I have several bags, many bags, tens of 20 bags it's done from its lows. That's done very well, literally. Now, the thing about that is that, yes, it's getting lots of orders in. In fact, the World Health Organization just said, validated its testing system, saying yes, that was a good tick mark. It's also collaborated with GSK, so obviously, and AstraZeneca and University of Cambridge, so two of the biggest pharma companies in the world, and also University of Cambridge, very well known. But people don't know, again, you don't know how much revenue they're getting from this, or they know, you know it's a revenue ballpark, but you don't know how much their costs are going to be, you know, at all, because to ramp up, to scale up production very quickly, it costs a lot of money, you know? You can't just do it. It's very few. That's why when I look at companies, sometimes if it's a software company, you know, I quite like to tell software companies, because they can scale up. It's pretty much, you know, it's copy and paste. It is. It's code. You know, it's quite easy to scale. It's not literally having to build stuff to scale up. You know, it's literally, once they've got the code sorted, they can scale it. It's very easy. You know, and that's why they got very good margins. But when you're building kits, you do need actual, you know, sort of employed capital, buying the chemicals, buying the plastic bits, all this stuff. So I don't know how they're doing that. But let's look at the chart, actually. It's gone mad. NCOT. Novacyt is the company there. Wow, so literally it was 18 pence in the 30th of January, 18 pence, and they just hit £3.77. That's nice.
Whoa.
So they closed at three, and that actually went up to, it spiked yesterday, it spiked at 5.20. So, you know, the 20 bag there, pretty much. So, and there are quite a few companies. If you go on voxmarkets.co.uk, there's a banner at the top there called COVID-19. There's all companies, and they click that, and you'll see a lot of companies that are exposed positively to this, you know, pandemic. And that's the thing.
I was going to say, is someone going to do like a fund based on these companies, maybe?
What do you about? I think now, the trouble is, how long is it going to last? That's the thing, you know? How long is it going to last? And, It's hard to say.
As soon as they find the cure and a vaccine, it's done, isn't it?
What I'm saying, it's a good trading stock to have. Some good trading stocks out there. But if you're looking for sustainable businesses for like next 5, 10, 20 years, or 5 years, for example, would you include them in that? And I think, but you probably wouldn't. I mean, there's been some businesses that are quite good that have pivoted and, you know, started to create these tests and stuff. But again, you may have, you know, I just think, if Gilead or one of the big guys in America, pharma companies, come out with sort of a positive clinical phase one, you know, or we got these gene testing kits now, they become very reliable, which they're not apparently at the moment, then that's a bit of a game changer. Because have you seen in Wuhan now? They've got people are leaving. Lockdown in Wuhan has happened. It's lifted. People can now leave, and they reckon, well, people are leaving because there were people working in Wuhan who didn't live there, you know, so they've been there 76 days and they just want to get out. But the planes and trains are jam-packed getting out of there. But you have to have an app. There's an app. There's a traffic light system on their app, and it's permissioned by the government. You have to show your app, green light, you're allowed to leave. And I think that's the kind of thing we need. So we were talking about last week about a tattoo on your forehead. Maybe that's a bit, we weren't thinking in the right ballpark there. We weren't we were thinking old school, rather digital. Mm. But rather than having a tattoo on your head saying, I've been cleared, you basically have an app, in a digital app, and it says, show people like a passport, and you say, yeah, no, I'm clean. You know, and that's what's going on in restaurants, surely. Again, spacing out people. You don't want to sit next to someone who's still infected. So how does that work? I don't know. It's just
well, it's not about being affected. It's people that haven't had it, and
yeah, but it's the well, it's basically it's the impact on the NHS, isn't it? Because like you were saying about deaths, you know, and you said, how does this show up in the deaths? I said, listen, as it is at the moment, right? It doesn't the amount of deaths, you know, by coronavirus doesn't register because I mean, so deaths is about 150,000 a day, people die. So far there's been 16 million deaths this year. Oh, 71,000 deaths today, right? Generally, not by coronavirus, today. So if you look at all time for coronavirus, it's not even 100,000 yet. So, you know, you're talking about a daily normal attrition rate of people is you know, is like a lot more than the coronavirus. So it doesn't. But the thing is, it's the havoc it creates with our health services. Did you say that yesterday? And that's very sad, actually. The unsung sort of people, victims of this crisis, are people who are waiting for organ transplants, and they're not being done. Normally, there's like 80 organ transplants done, and these are life saving. You know, you only have them if you really need them, and there's about 80 a week done on the NHS. None's being done, and normally about 500 people die. Normally waiting for an organ transplant, that's going to rocket now about 80 more a day, and so 80 more a week. I mean, so it's things like that. You know, the health service can't do anything else. It's like Brexit. When Brexit dominated everything else, all the politics was dominated by Brexit. Other things weren't getting done. You know, now this is a lot more serious because people are dying of normally wouldn't die because of COVID-19, and so it's about flattening that curve. That's why they have to do it because. It just kills the NHS, doesn't it? Just flattens it, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, So, boys, what percentage of cash are you in your portfolios at the moment?
I'm close to 60%.
Right. Steve?
I am, hang on. Yeah, I'm probably about the same. Probably 60, 65-ish, there or thereabouts.
Pad?
Hang on, I just need to get into my
Harry and Larry.
My doodah.
I don't know if you mentioned this a while.
Yeah, about 50%.
45, 50%. Yeah, cool. So, listen, and at the moment, you know, I'm so tempted. It's so tempting, a bear market rally. It really is. But you've never chased these things, ever. And I've had a couple of people message me saying this, you know, it's so tempting. And he said, once this goes down, I'm going to start buying. I said, do you know what, though? The funny thing is about the markets is this. When the markets go up, everyone wants to buy because we think it's going to keep on going. When the markets go down, everyone wants to sell because we think it's going to keep on going. So it's amazing how fast sentiment changes. You know, you have a quite an aggressive down day now, and all of a sudden people start, rather than buying, they'll start selling. And that's the odd way about the market. So you've got to know at a certain level. You know, I just genuinely think, I think if you looked at on a serious level, for example, if you took Greg's earnings from last year, right, without being impacted, take a full year of earnings from Greg's, for example, right, and then knock, say, what, a quarter off. Because let's say they affect for a quarter. Let's say, in fact, you could be even more than that, couldn't you? So you could go more than the quarter, say two quarters. On half the revenue they earned, earnings they earned the year before, will they still be decent by now? That's the way they should look at companies, if you're going to value them. And above that, maybe they're a bit more overvalued. Because for a long period, if you can get a company like that, you think you're confident they can return to at least 50-60% of their earnings the next year, and then they're valued quite cheaply, 10 times earnings, and they're a good growth model like Greg's or something, then go for it, you know? And do you know what? Some good updates, actually. Now, I sold some EasyJet this week, because I bought some in last week, I said, and it rallied like crazy. It rallied. I can't believe it rallied. Yeah. It's like, I said, they are... And it rallied strongly, just because they got accepted this $600 million loan scheme for the government. They got accepted into that. And they just rallied like
trading, Justin.
Yeah, it's nuts though. But
it sounds like you're trading there. That
no, because I because I want to scale into them, right?
No, Pad.
No, what are they, what are they
and
use?
Then you sold less than a week later, so that's...
That's investing. That's investing. Okay.
Yeah. And, no, because I just thought...
Quick investing.
Yeah.
Short-term investing. What do they say? How much do they say they're spending? Aircraft delivery update. So they mentioned about how much they're burning. Greg's, for example, is burning about 5 million. Was it a month? They released something yesterday. But, you know, they've got all those aircraft, easy jets sitting on the tarmac, and that's they're burning a lot more than that. And on the tarmac. What do you say? Tarmac? Tarmac?
Tarmac, yeah.
Tarmac, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Hang on. So, so Greg's. So they're burning £5 million a week outflow. Greg's £5 million a week outflow. Right.
They shouldn't do that. Don't burn it.
No.
Plus property rental costs of 11 million each quarter. 11 million each quarter. So now they're going to bring that down to 3.5 million per week. So I know EasyJet's a lot above that. And you're thinking, well, how are these companies even rising? They're going to have no revenue for at least another month because old Dudar said we're locked down for another month or so. So it's beyond me why these companies are rising. And you think, well, you know, we don't know the impact of this. It's nuts, isn't it? I tell you, did a good update. Like I said, EasyJet is high risk at the moment. For big stocks, it's not high risk generally, but for big stocks, it's high risk because you don't know when they're going to get back to normal. You know, I could see another year before they get anywhere near normal because we haven't had a vaccine yet. And travelling in a thin, long tube with 300 strangers, it's like the Carnival cruises or, you know, cruise liners, it's a petri dish, isn't it? It's excellent for transmitting disease. Those little confined spaces, but so that's a risky one because it rallied. They just took some money off. I thought, I'm in for the long term, but it's ridiculous the rise has had. But on the beach, it's a lot less risky, but it's a bit of a flyer, and they've got lots of cash. And they came out with a cracking update. An excellent. It's worth you reading the update. They've done a stress test.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because their business is really well set up for this.
Yeah, yeah. We said the group, unlike the majority of online travel agents, tour operators, and airlines, does not rely on cash received for forward bookings to trade. Essentially, they're a very capital-light model. They're a website, essentially. You know, they had 50-odd million in cash, 57 million cash in November. And then they said, we did a stress test, and basically, they said, if we have no bookings up until the end of September this year, we're fine, you know? And we'll look at it back then, but and so they've said that they've all taken pay cuts and all that stuff as well. So it was a very professional update. And I thought, you know what? Even though they're facing up to it, they've stress tested the business and they're really transparent in it. And I thought, worth looking at on the beach. And I think, guys, it's one of the companies we should get into. I'll hold it a little bit now, but we should probably get into if we see this coming out the other end, because I think they rise quite quickly as well. If you look at their rise just on that this week, they're a good beat the stock, you know what I mean? They're quite leveraged to the market. And but I think who's in an Avery? Is that you? Who's that? So they went from 140 to 275 on it this week, last few days. Wow, 140, that's a double, that's nearly bagged. That's nuts. That is bear market rally. That's nuts. That is nearly bagged on just on that on an update saying they're not getting any revenue, but they're okay until September. It's like, that's nuts, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was looking at the chart. Yeah, okay.
Another one worth looking at. What the heck is that? Are you in the field? Who's that? Is it someone's out in the field somewhere?
It sounds like a goat.
Who is it, Pad?
Not me. There's no goats here.
There's definitely you, Pad.
That was you, Pad.
Paddy, what the hell is that?
Pad,
is that Croydon?
Paddy, social, Pad, social distancing. Come on, fella. Another one worth looking at. It's a small, tiny company, right? An update. I said, what were you banging on about, you boys? You're banging on some nonsense into it on WhatsApp. I said, if you've got some spare time, right, just read these two updates from one from On the Beach. You were talking about some inane nonsense. I can't believe what it was about. What was it about?
Listen, it was about exercise.
It was the other day.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the videos Steve showed.
No, I don't mind that. You were talking about Joe Wicks, I know. It's very good. But no, you were talking about something really inane. And I said, boys,
there's been quite a few tangents this week.
I
can't even think of what it was now.
Yeah, the WhatsApps went out of sync, didn't it? A while. I said, Pete, because I didn't reply. I sent you a message about the podcast. Pete, when you do it, you didn't reply for ages, like 2 hours. I texted later.
No, that's normal.
Yeah. I said, Pete! And then literally came out after you'd answered, which is odd. So E Energy Group, it's a small company, right? They are an energy efficiency as a service business in the UK and Ireland. So what they do is they've got a big organisations that have lots of, for example, capital expenditure to do to, you know, lighting, all this kind of stuff. It's schools, for example. And they say, listen, pay us on a monthly basis. We'll look after all your lighting problems and all that stuff. We'll upgrade LEDs and all that stuff. We'll keep them maintained. And so your capital expenditure goes down. You don't have to buy in chunk. You have to hire someone. We'll do it for you. And they've now got, they're even valued at about 5 million. They've got about 1.2 in cash. They're brand new to the market. I like it because recurring revenue software. And they said there, right, they've hardly been affected. They said from January the 1st to the 3rd of April, they've signed 48 new contracts, which include 21 schools in the UK and Ireland. Combined energy expects to save these schools. They're going to save these schools about 360 grand in energy and 618 tonnes in carbon emissions each year. These new contracts include some of the UK's leading independent schools, such as Marlborough College in Wiltshire, Wycliffe College in Gloucester, or Wycliffe, other notable contracts in the UK. Group's first project with a multi-academy trust and with some state primary schools. And so it says here, the high number of contracts reflects the success of the group's sales operation, which has generated 12.5 million euros of new proposals in the same period. The company is currently seeing a strong sales cycle in the education sector, with 40% of proposals in the UK schools being converted to signed contracts. The time taken to convert each proposal into a signed contract has been reduced by 25% to 35 days. E-Energy is actively engaged with over 150 school proposals. And it says, they're going to be profitable then this year. And I said, I really like this space. It's like, you know, here we are. In each month of the quarter, the group has secured contracts worth approximately 1 million euros, which is 2.5 times that for the same period in the prior year, and is in line with market expectations. There's been a bit of delay on the small and medium sized businesses. So it said, being delays in summer term means revenues will be generated later than expected. This will push back the group's operating profit break-even point to the second half of 2020. The shift, but anyway, there's a strong balance sheet, 1.4 million euros. Do you know what? It's a small little company. I really like this area because it's a proven area and they've got lots of contracts. They've got 150 contracts out there. They said, and the conversion rates are very good. And literally, if you look at the guy before, he's done this before in another business. He turned around another business. They got skin in the game. Harvey's name is Harvey Sinclair, the CEO. But I like it a lot. Small cap, generating cash, going to be profitable at the end of this year, and it's in the right space, you know. It's recurring revenue, and they change basically old schools, you know, all that stuff. Any old lighting, any old equipment into new equipment, they charge for it, they maintain it. So switching LED lighting and all that stuff. But I like that, you know.
I'll do Steve's the research for him. What's the ticker?
The ticker is EAS. So it's EAAS. This is energy as a service, it stands for, but it's E-Energy is the company. I did mention them yesterday. You've seen it last week on my video, yeah? At the end of my last week video?
At the end of the video last week,
I did show my portfolio last week. At the end of my video, I said, these are the companies I hold at the moment. The spaces.
You make videos?
Yes. Well, you should check out my. In fact, I'll send you a link to the YouTube channel.
I'll send you the VHS pad.
Yeah. Perfect.
So I like that, and I quite like that. It's an unknown company at the moment. I haven't been listed long, but it's in the right space, isn't it? Reducing the carbon footprint, and it's a software as a service, so it's a recurring revenue business. And like I said, they're working with them, with schools, and so schools have a certain budget, and they have to reduce that budget. And it's a no-brainer for schools. We'll save you money. We'll maintain all the lighting
money
stuff.
Money saving is going to be important over the next few years. Companies will be looking to do quite a bit of that.
Exactly. Do you see that global GDP now is like 300% of, global debt is 300% of GDP, and it'll be getting worse than that now. It's going to get worse. So governments, of course, they've got to save money everywhere they can. So, All right.
Just on the overall picture and where the market's gone, I mean, is there a chance that the market has just been so oversold that, we've hit, the rapid decline that we saw during March, has it been oversold and we've actually gone lower than it kind of should have gone? So it's now, we are seeing a bit of a correction in terms of. It's not a rally, it's a semi-recovery, get back to a normal level, and then it's going to. who knows? But is that another way of looking at it?
Well, yes. Do you know what? It is a way of looking at it. I've looked at that as well. But so it's the fastest bear market ever. It went to 20-odd days to get into a bear market territory, 20% down. And, of course, when you have that kind of speed and velocity, the indicators go way oversold, you know, because that's what it's about. So RSIs, I'd never seen so many companies with an RSI below 30. Most of them were below 30. So you always get a bounce back, you know, a technical bounce back. You get shorts covering, so they're buying at the market as well.
Yeah.
But the more the market goes up now, obviously the more people start to short again and put downward pressure. More people start to sell again. So that's the problem. But even if you look at the average, and this is what I keep going back to, even if you look at the average recession or bear market, you know, this is not even nowhere near it. I mean, it's less than the average. So, and fundamentally, looking at the economy and jobless, this is not an average. This is a lot worse than average. So, like I said, the average is a 36% drop. It lasts for 347 days. We're about 25% down at the moment now, less than that, I think, 20% down. And it's been going on for 45 days, so or 50 days. So can we honestly say, even with stimulus, that this will not be as bad as an average recession? You know, the great financial crisis of 2008, that saw the S&P 500 go down 57%. So that's, you know, a massive drop, and lasted for, like, I think about 18 months. So, and yet this is only 50 days in. So I suppose early on, yeah. We're probably seeing this technical bounce now, that because it fell out so quickly, because we know everything was coming to a standstill. But now I think we'll grind lower. I think genuinely, if you look at the good news and bad news coming out now, what we got with stimulus is, we've had the stimulus now, even though I said that last time, they did more stimulus. You know, it's like us and that. So we'll keep getting jobless claims. The death rate will go down, hopefully. But then the financial fallout, which is the most, you know, impactful to the stock market, that'll get worse, because all you're seeing now is you know, companies haven't started reporting yet. We don't know how bad the state is for these companies. You know, where are they at? What are they thinking? What debt they got? We've seen lots of companies try to raise money or extend their debt levels, or, you know, debt agreements with banks and all that, covenants and all that stuff. But we don't know how bad this is going to get. And I think even if half those people go back to work that has so far been unemployed, it's still going to be bad. You know, so I don't know. It's hard to say. So I can't see if this is less than the average. You know, half as bad as the average recession, is it? Can't be, surely.
No.
I've seen many economists say this is the worst recession in a century. I mean, you know, and we are in recession right now. So, yeah. So we are.
Terrific.
And Paddy, you bought at the top of the market, so that's good timing.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better time than that. If you'd shorted then, Pat, you'd be laughing your head off by now.
I don't know. I bought a really, really rubbish house, so it's got to come down quite a bit for it to be negative equity, but yeah. It's possible. Possible.
Yeah, yeah. No, but do you know what? Again, this is why patience, have a bit of cash, because whatever you've got now, if you can buy now, I think, you know, next sort of 3 to 6 months, we'll see some very decent prices on the stock market, and you can get a, you know, good uplift in that over the next 3 to 5 years easier. Except the best time ever is to buy at the back of a recession, you know, for returns. And you just sit there in good companies and just hold, you know. I can still see Greg's trading in 10 years' time, can't you?
Yeah,
I would think
people
so.
People always need sausage rolls.
Yeah. Exactly. So there we are. And even some of the banks at the moment are hammered. So, you know, I can still see Lloyd's being here in 10 years' time, you know? So
yeah.
It's like they are 29 pence now or something. They're ridiculous.
They rallied a little bit to 33 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but that, I think that'll
come. ET will probably be around.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are companies like this, the big companies, worth looking at. But genuinely, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm curious. Joe Wicks, are you doing Joe Wicks, Steve? Because you just said one thing that the kid's been doing Joe Wicks, the missus did. The missus then found it really hard. And he's a very clever guy, isn't he? Because he's managed to get all schools pretty much tuning into him in the mornings, which is very clever.
The even cleverer part about it, as we were talking this morning, is he's donating all the advertising revenue from his PE sessions on YouTube. And he
That's stupid. That is stupid.
Well, that's not, because as soon as he did that, he's literally been getting interviews on pretty much every news station across the world. So he's probably boosted his numbers on his YouTube channels where he makes ever money on it. So it's genius, really.
That is genius because it's, like, it's selfless, doesn't it? And then, you know, if he was doing it, if he's commercially benefiting, which he is, but if he's, you know, outrightly commercially benefiting from it, people said, why are you advertising him? You're giving him an advert. But the fact he's giving it to NHS gives him the green card to go on all these platforms and say, no, most is going there. But no, one thing that struck me, Steve, that you said, you're finding it giving you more benefit to your body. So my body's changing. Yeah, my body's changing, but and how old are you now, Steve? You're going through a body change. But you say, it's giving
you. His hair's growing out of certain places now.
Yeah, but you said it's giving you more of a body change than running has. What do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, like, I run like a couple of times a week. You know, I do like 7-8 mile runs, and I don't really notice any change in body. But 2 weeks doing Joe Wicks, so literally everything suddenly started tightening up and a bit of tone coming up, so actually it makes
everything
everything.
Now is that let me ask you one question, that tightening up, is it temporary while Joe is on?
On Fancy Dress Fridays, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what? I saw that. He was in a Spider-Man suit a week back. And I
he's
said,
a frog today.
The boy started. I said, he's going to be hot in that. And literally he took it off and his hair was stuck to his face.
Yeah. That's part of the fat loss thing, isn't it? Sweating out.
Do you know what I say is good about it? You know, it is like I'm finding it, it's getting a little bit easier now. And I think it's going to get me into watching his proper HIIT classes. Yeah. So
they are good.
It's a good introduction into it, actually. You know?
I didn't see that.
If I had started a normal HIIT class, I probably would have watched one of the two and gone, it's too much, I can't do it.
Hang on, for people not aware of this, I wasn't aware, I thought Pete made a spelling mistake on WhatsApp when he said HIIT with two eyes. I thought, what is that? What is that?
High intensity training.
How long does that last, and what's the difference between that and the normal thing the kids do?
I don't know the kids thing, but his normal sessions are like, you can choose, there's 15-minute ones, there's 20-minute ones.
I think the actual main difference is, I think he makes the kid ones, he just makes them a little bit, I think he makes himself feel like it's harder than it is, so I think...
Oh, he does that with the adult ones.
Oh, does he? Oh, okay, right, fair enough.
Because it's about making people feel, you know, so it's
good
not
about themselves. Yeah,
like, you know, because he's all, yeah, he's always kind of, I'm burning up now. I'm like, yeah, right, as if you are. But
does he do any weights, Joe Wicks, or does he just do those workouts?
He sort of other training, doesn't he, let's be honest. But
most of it's going at weights, isn't it?
I've done those sessions the last few years. They're really good. Like, I find them really good just because they're structured and you can just bang them on the TV and just do them. So it's like...
I love Pete the way he just sneaked in. Yeah, I've been doing it for the last couple of years, guys. Yeah, yeah. Have you only discovered him? Yeah, no, I've been there for years. When Joe was no one, when at least three viewers on YouTube, I was one of the three.
Yeah. I was quite late to the party, but they are good. But he's just done a brilliant bit of marketing. Kind of, he's done the books and everything along the way, and the diet stuff and all of that. So it's like,
I don't think he was clever enough to like think that this was a great. I think he just did it because he wanted to do it. So he has got the energy to do it, and he's just literally fallen on his feet on it, hasn't he? For the publicity,
it's a combination. He's a good looking guy. He's got a nice personality. He's really accessible. Like I say, he doesn't make it elitist. He makes it really kind of simple and it's kind of a winning formula, isn't it?
I think you're describing Steve then with his quarantine discos. Isn't it easy, very accessible?
I haven't quite hit my quarter of a million viewers yet.
you've broken 100 though. That's good. So the first 100 is the hardest, Steve, apparently.
Just to make that clear, 100 viewers, not 100,000 viewers.
So you do that tonight, Steve?
Yeah, I am. Well, 7 o'clock.
2 hour spectacular.
Topless hour
tonight. Yeah.
Topless hour is when?
No.
Come on, Steve. You start off with a bottle of red. You know, a couple of hours before. When you start that, you should be on your third bottle of red. That you'll be in the party mood way before anyone else. You'll be hitting the ground running at 150 miles an hour. By hour two, you'll be stumbling, slobbering all over your decks, naked.
I was a little bit slurry towards the end last week. So,
can you imagine that, Steve?
Can I make an observation? The difference here between you and Joe Wicks. Hello, he was wearing a frog costume today.
Yeah.
Fancy dress, Steve. Come on.
Yeah.
How funny would that be? You turn up tonight in some very random costume.
Easter bunny.
Exactly. What have you got in your house that you can't?
I don't have it.
He's got his birthday suit.
Yes, do something. You've got to wear something.
Yeah. Right, lads, have a nice weekend. And speak to you next week for lockdown week 4. Oof.
Yeah. See you.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.